Yes, sir, what is your name, sir?
Baltazar Martinez Jazz the third, sir.
Okay, let's see who's going to conduct your hearing. Mr. Jazz, J-A-S-S the second.
That should be me.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Leo will conduct your hearing at this time, sir, because hold on.
This is,
Yes, sir.
This is Palmer's guy.
Hmm?
Oh, Michelle. Oh, Michelle. The parole officer.
Okay, what's your number?
The number is 480-387-5302.
What's your name, man?
Michelle Palmer.
Okay, Mr. Palmer. Okay, okay, thank you, sir. Hold on one moment, we're trying to get your parole officer.
And who's joining this?
Mr. Leon.
Okay.
Yes, Officer Palmer, at last, we're getting back to you. This is Arizona Board of Executive Premises.
How you guys doing?
We're doing just fine. We'll keep moving on. So if you hold on, we will, Mr. Neal will be conducting a hearing, and we will get started now, ma'am.
That sounds fantastic.
Okay, Mr. Neal, sir.
Okay. Hi, so Mr. Jazz, good afternoon. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Baltazar Martinez Jazz the fourth, 136678.
Thanks, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Premises this afternoon in reference to your community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. To your right at the far end of the bench is the Honorable Lee Canales. My name is David Hill. I'll be the panel chair. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.C. Wright, who is our board chairman. To his right is the Honorable Bill Woodenhouse, and to her right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Grady from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. Prior to the hearing, you received notification of about this hearing and the date. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
I on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm speaking for myself, sir.
All right, thank you. Okay, this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Grady in. So, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do yourself firm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
So you're going to be back in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is read the five allegations that are under the warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. So, allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Division of Supervision. Number seven is demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about March 1st, 2018, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated at March 6th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. Allegation number two is a violation of Arizona Division of Supervision. Number seven, as demonstrated by the use of morphine on or about February 12, 2018, from the TASC GCMS lab report dated February 15, 2018. That is true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
All right. Allegation number three is violation of Arizona Division of Supervision number seven is demonstrated by the use of morphine on or about March 1st, 2018, from the TASC GCMS lab report dated March 6, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
All right. Allegation number four is violation of Arizona Division of Supervision number seven. As demonstrated by use of methamphetamine on or about February 12, 2018, for the TASC GCMS lab report date February 15, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. And allegation number five is violation of Arizona Division of Supervision number four, as demonstrated by your failure to complete substance abuse counseling on or about March 1st, 2018, and verbally directed on February 21st, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to proceed on that before we move on to phase two. So based on the additions of Mr. Jazz, I move to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or without lapse in equipment rate or company. Nothing. Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. We're moving to phase two in a moment. Sorry about my hand, but there's a little bug.
Yeah, I know, I'm over there too.
I'm trying to make him go over and bring him to the house, but he likes me too. All right, so as we move to phase two, we're going to get some background information from Mr. Grady. So please stay on the phone, hang on, and I'll be right back to you. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Jazz was released from DLC on July 21st of 2017. He was arrested on March 1st of 2018 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DLC on March 1st of 2018. He has a CSED of August 20th of 2018 and reflects 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, narcotic drug violation, 6 years. 2014, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. Prior conviction, 1998, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1998, marijuana violation, 3 years, 6 months. 1998, promoting contraband, 4 years, 6 months. 2005, marijuana violation, 10 months. He has 2 terms of DLC. His CUIR scores are 2-3. Mental health scores are 1. Substance abuse scores are 3. He's a member of the prison gang, the Mexican Mafia of Arizona. Prior term of supervision, 2002, TIS release, completed 8 months. He also had in 2006 interstate compact release from Texas, absconded, Arizona closed interest in the offender. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2003, possessed, sell marijuana, Texas felony conviction, state prison. He has a community risk score of a G6-V6.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Mr. Jazz, can you deliver a summary of your case supervision at this time? So it shows here that it was in July 24, 2017. Your approval resided at 925 South Longbow Street in 201 Mesa, Arizona. And then on February 21st, 2018, you were sanctioned to the 90-day RCDM program liberty at Vigway at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix, Arizona. You were discharged from Vigway on March 1st, 2018. So did you stay anywhere else while you were on the phone?
No, sir. Directly on that day that I did when they sent me on my way from Greenway, it's the same day that I turned myself in, which was March 2nd. I did not scout 0 days.
Okay.
I got kicked out of Greenway that morning, and I was arrested by 3:30 that same afternoon.
Okay. And while you were out, did you have any employment job?
Well, actually, I did. Ms. Palmer had called my place of employment, and my name is Baltazar Martinez Jazz the third, and my son is the third. So the answer they gave to her was, he hasn't worked here in 2 years. Well, I was incarcerated 2 years prior to that. It was my son that they were referring to. They had my son and myself mixed up.
Okay. Well, I mean, you do work, though, so...
Yes.
Yeah, there's times that we don't have any information in this paperwork, and it's not that you didn't work.
Okay.
Or anything, just that the information didn't get relayed in time for the hearing packet. So it's always commendable if you can work and keep yourself busy. So let's see, on programming, it shows that you were assigned a task. And let's see, you were assigned to color code Navy, and it looks like you had 15 bots you were responsible for, and there was only one negative in the whole bunch. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 missed ones, And let's see, two or three diluted. But two of the diluted have they had THC in them. So it seems you have a drug problem, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it looks like, looking at this, it looks like you use heroin, methamphetamine, or marijuana mixed in. So you got quite a problem there. Actually go through the program at Vivo. They have a pretty good program there that can help tremendously with getting yourself sober. How long have you had this kind of drug problem, sir?
Probably a good 20 years or so, 25 years. I was attending the RCMB program prior to me being kicked out of the Beebray house itself.
Uh-huh.
I believe on the follow-up of the summary on Mrs. Norman's report, it said that she did receive information from the RCMB program that I was attending the self-esteem and self-awareness program, to which I was. But as far as the problem goes, yes, I do have a problem. I'm not going to sit here and try to say otherwise. Yes, I do.
So
I just thank God that I ain't never committed a crime behind my addiction. The only crimes I did commit were possession of marijuana type stuff.
Right, there was a lot of marijuana possession that you got.
Yes, those were the crimes.
But while you were there,
themselves.
But while you were incarcerated, but I imagine that you pretty much continued your issues with drugs. Did you ever sober for any length of time in while you were incarcerated?
Oh yeah, most definitely. From 2013 to the time I got released in 2017, I must have took at least 20 UAs and then came up clean on every single one of them. And the very first one, like you said, when I got released. But I fell back into doing what I do, and this is where I am from the result of that,
I have to commend you for that long period of sobriety before you were released, but you went immediately back to it, so it looks like you have made that real choice that's necessary. Only you can stop your drug addiction, everybody can extend all the heavy hands in the world, but unless you've made up your mind that you want to accept it and actually do it, it's not going to happen. And it took a lot of willpower to be that sober in incarcerated, because unfortunately drugs are fairly readily available when you're inside, unless you're in total lockdown. Even then, it's not necessarily unusual to get you drugs.
I ain't never done any type of treatment program before or anything like that, ever. 48 years, I ain't never entered a program. When I entered this program that we're discussing, the Rebrain and all that stuff, I was already under the influence. I already had that addiction in full circle. So I was trying to enter a program already addicted. I never entered a program ever sober.
Well, let me ask you, sir. You were release date, your end of sentence, the time you're all done with this, is coming up fairly fast. It's in August. What are your plans for the future when you don't have to report to DOC, when there's nobody looking over your shoulder to make sure that you follow the program? Then it's completely up to you. What are you going to do then?
Well, this is what I don't know. But I should tell you what my plans are if I were to get released. If I were to get released, I would be immediately going into IHP and then going right back to RCMB. I never took any, like I said, any drugs to deter me from opiates or anything like that. So I've been in contact with Ms. Palmer, and under her direction, I'll be under the medication called Vivitrol, which is a shot given to me once every 30 days to stop the cravings of opiate. Like I said, sir, I ain't never tried this stuff before. So to answer your question, I believe that will strengthen me. So when I do get absolute discharge, my insurance should still carry over the RCMB program as well as that medication Vivitrol. But for me to get released from here to there, I don't know, sir.
Okay. I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you at this time.
Any questions?
Okay, so we have the board members have no questions for you at this time, sir, so I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Ms. Palmer and let her give us some information, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, ma'am, are you ready?
I am absolutely ready. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Oh, well, it's not Friday, but I guess I'll hang in there.
Okay. Well, this is exciting, but... All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, as you can tell, Mr. Jazz has been extremely active in his addiction and struggling quite a bit with heroin. With further investigation and research on my behalf, it came across me that there's been some very good success with the Vivitrol medicated-assisted treatment programs. If you do decide or would like to give Mr. Jazz a chance again back on parole, I would highly recommend that he is involved with the medicated-assisted treatment programs and actively involved in a 90-day inpatient treatment program so we can get him back on track and be successful. By dealing with him, he has a very good outlook. Unfortunately, the addiction had a grip on him, and he could just not break away from it. In quite honesty, I think getting him back in prison probably saved his life because he was spiraling very, very quickly. With him being clean and sober now and receiving a Vivitrol shot upon his release from prison, if that is a possibility, we're starting off on the right foot and on a clean and sober foot. So I believe that this gentleman could be successful if he agrees to some very good treatment and participates and is active in his treatment and agrees to monthly shots of Vivitrol.
Okay, well, he only has 118 days left on his sentence. You know, that's the date they gave us. So, you know, the process and everything else, he might be able to have time to do a 90-day program.
Right.
Might not quite make it through. I don't know about the programs or availability to them after they're actually done with their sentencing. I mean, I know some of the halfway houses are faith-based and everything, their goal is to reintegrate the inmates with society, and they're not too concerned about whether they're out on release or whether they're done with their sentence. They're better, they will help people, but...
Correct, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, the heatway, I don't know how those are operated or anything.
Well, unfortunately, in speaking with V-Ray, due to the circumstances of his discharge from V-Ray, they will not take him back into the program.
Mm-hmm.
So that unfortunately limits where we can put Mr. Jass. The only other alternative that I have at my availability would be the MRC program up on Adobe Mountain, the ITH program, and it's on a... As they go through the program, they continue to analyze the gentleman, so it could be 14 days, 30 days, or 90 days. So it would be based on how he's responding to the program and how much he actually needs the program. And again, that is also volunteer.
Right. But that said, I mean, we talk to a lot of inmates that go there, and I think some of them actually mess up and then they want to go back because they realized afterwards what the program is. We hear very high marks for MRC and what it can do, you know, and this is from inmates, this isn't
correct.
From everybody else, they're out saying how it's good it does them and everything, so it's gotta be a good program up there. So, I know you're not supposed to make recommendations, but your feelings are that if he was to be released at this time, that he could be successful or would be successful?
I honestly think that, and I agree with you, I know we're not allowed to give recommendations. Just, again, my personal dealing with him, I know the intentions were there, and I honestly believe that if we start him off on a clean and sober foot, and we continue to move him in that direction, he could be very successful.
That would be very nice.
Yes, it would be. But again, he holds the ultimate power to that success, and I can only be there to guide him and encourage him and direct him into the proper programming, but again, it's all volunteer. So I know there's the medicated, like I said, the medicated assisted treatment programs that they're showing some great success with, and if he would be, you know, open to that and commit, you know, able to commit to that, I'd be willing to still work with him. But again, the ultimate decision is all of you on the board as well.
Right. If we were to grant him release again, would he be assigned back to you?
Yes, he would be.
Okay. I mean, that's, I don't know what he's outside and where that goes.
Yes, he would. He would actually come back right onto my caseload.
Let me see if there's any questions for me and my fellow board members for you.
Sure.
No, we don't seem to have any questions. Yeah, I've heard about that. That drug that seems to be, not everybody, but a lot of them, once they get it, it helps cut down that craving, so to speak, so that it gives them a chance to get the mental grip on stuff.
You are correct. Yep.
And which is, everybody on heroin and stuff like that goes to methadone, they end up getting addicted to methadone, but they don't have any, then the first time you take the methadone away from them, they're back to the way it was.
Correct.
Okay, all right, well, we're going to move on with the hearing. Stay on the phone there if you'd like, and we'll get this done here pretty quick, okay?
I sure will. Thank you.
All right. Anybody have any further questions for Mr. Jazz? Okay, sir, we're coming to the conclusion of the hearing pretty soon, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement before we make a decision. We ask that you don't, repeat all the information that you already given us, but if you've got anything else you'd like to say on your behalf that you think we need to hear or like to hear, now's your opportunity.
Like I said, sir, I mean, I take total responsibility for my actions, you know what I mean? I am not a dumb person, I just make some dumb mistakes. I am an educated person, while incarcerated. I do have my business management degree. I also, ironically, have my substance abusing and counseling. I still have a year left to get my bachelor's on that. I do, like I said, I do have an education, you know what I mean? I'm not just some guy that was in prison time and yes, I did start off in a mock prison. I was young then. I'm 48 now. So in the last 15 years, I did educate myself. I believe I do have like 27 or 28 college credits at this time that could carry over to Rio Salado. I was fortunate enough to get into substance abuse and drug counseling. Out of Buckeye Complex, I believe there's only 250 guys that are granted scholarship. I happen to be fortunate enough to be one of them. But like I said, I tried to get into this program on the wrong foot, you know what I mean? Once I realized that I was addicted, well, let me go try this. Like if it was, just going to go away, well, it didn't go away. So what I'm asking the board is to give me a chance to do it with a clear head. And I know it can work. You know, me trying it with not having mental capacity to give it my all. Was I'm fair to myself and I'm fair to my family and I'm fair to everybody around me. So, I mean, with that, like I said, I take full responsibility for my actions. There's no sugarcoating that. But just keep in mind that I was fortunate enough not to commit any crimes while underneath that stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. The board's going to go into discussion, make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may keep directing it to you, but we're not. We're just, maybe having a discussion about what we'll do. We ask you to stay on the phone, but remain silent. If you work under the open meeting law, so everybody's entitled to listen to the entire discussion. Okay?
Yes, sir.
The board is going on discussion. This is the... This is one of those cases that you really have to stop and consider a lot of different issues all at once. And this, and look looking at Mr. Jazz's work history and his, you know, his crimes, his drug, his probably past history is directly involved with drugs and supporting the habit. And when he got out, he involved in an immediate relapse. At least he is, he's understanding his problem. And when they put him into NRC at V-Way, he knew he was going to get in trouble because he was, you know, with dirty. So he turned himself in, which is commendable. And I seem to have the desire to finally have decided enough's enough's enough. And he didn't abscond, he didn't commit any crime, well, he wasn't out doing a lot of crime as soon as he got into the drugs. And his criminal history is the same thing. A lot of people are into the drugs and they start out by stealing, and the next thing you know, they're raping and pillaging and doing all kinds of other things to support the habit. With the obvious support his PO has, it proved positive what we saw all the time, that the POs really do go out of their way trying to help people, especially the ones that want to help themselves. I watched my brother go down the same path, and it was absolutely longer than this when he finally reached the end of that path, and it wasn't pleasant. And many times he said he wanted to help himself, but he would never make that decision. Unfortunately, they didn't have this new drug at that time, so we never know whether he would. But I'm inclined to, I just got a gut feeling with this, with the one more chance. And you know, you go through these programs that his PO wants to be in, that I'm inclined to return to the supervision. And hope and pray that he makes all the right decisions, and that when his term is over, that he can continue on the path of sobriety. But I'm not listening to any discussion from my fellow board members at this time. Any comments?
I'd support that.
Okay, well, that makes me feel good. But based on everything we have here, and all the information that we want, Mr. Gaz's testimony and Ms. Palmer's testimony, I'm going to move to return Mr. Gaz to community supervision with the same conditions all the same conditions plus a few amended conditions, which I'll move away after the motion. So that's my motion.
Okay. What's your final motion?
Yeah, that's the motion. I'll just give you one.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. So I'm going to move away some amended conditions here. And the placement will be a full option discretion. We recommend a placement and successful completion program that offers substance abuse. And with the type of substance abuse he's had, some mental health could go right along with it, hopefully in that program we can get him with that. And PO, this is going to be the tough one. Okay, and PO is to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable testing, or unexcused UA. So that is a really tough one. It's a tough one on the PO. It's also very tough on the finger. With the program that we're hoping to get in, I don't know if 12-step would be appropriate again, but I'm going to go ahead and put it down. The PO has got a lot of latitude on that sort of stuff. Okay, unless there's something else that we'd like to add to that. Okay, sir. The board voted unanimously to return you to community supervision. We're going to stick our necks out for you. I do think that, well, it's obvious we all voted for it, so we all believe what you're telling us. We really believe that your PO will work very, very hard to help you out. We all also hope that we never get to see you again in that orange t-shirt sitting there talking to us on the phone. And we do wish you the best of luck. We love success stories, although we don't hear most of them. We know they're out there.
Thank you.
And we're hoping to hear two or more of those success stories. And then maybe someday Officer Plummer will be telling us about that success.
If you do agree, I'm sure she will.
Okay, well, she sounds like a fantastic PO. So please follow her direction and everything. And you do understand those conditions, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody before, plus the disadvantage. I think that the last part of it gives her a little bit of leeway on some of the, like if you're at work and you oops and you follow up right away, I missed it and everything, and that would be, she'd work out the excused fail to drop situation. But if you fail to drop because you're dirty, well, you're done. You'll be back.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay?
Yes, I understand.
All right, well, we do wish you the best of luck. Thank you for appearing, and thank you for your wonderful attitude and demeanor today, and thank you, Officer Palmer.
Thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate you guys giving this gentleman a second chance.
All right, well, we'll count on you to keep that book going on him so that he continues on the right path, okay?
Absolutely. I will tell you the success story when it happens.
All right. Not when, if. Not if, but when, right? You can have that. Not if, but when.
Absolutely.
All right, well, this is over here. And Mr. Jazz, we put the CO2 back on the phone, and we're going to disconnect from you, Ms. Palmer.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great day. Again, thank you for your time.
All right.